I guess I need to call a meeting to order. This is the Idaho Water Resource Board meeting number 2-15, February 13th, 2015 at 8 a.m. It's a teleconference board meeting, and some are attending in the Boise office also. And Mandy, would you call the roll, please?
Okay. Mr. Cuddy?
Aye.
Mr. Alberti?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson? Is absent. Mr. Raybould?
Here.
Mr. Vandermeulen?
Here.
Mr. Vanstone?
Here.
Mr. Barker?
I'm here.
And Chairman Chase?
Here.
Okay, we have seven present.
Okay, Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to note that Director Spackman has also joined us here in the conference room in Boise.
Gary, congratulations on your reappointment.
Not done yet.
Thank you. Oh, that's right. You just got through the committee. Okay.
First item on the agenda this morning is recharge, and primarily we're talking about putting together a payment structure for recharge delivery above American Falls on the Eastern Snake Plain. Just before we go into that, though, I'd like to do a quick recap of where we are with regard to recharge on the Eastern Snake Plain. As many of you know, we have had recharge diversions every day since October 27th. And I think that's a real success that we need to, you know, we need to tell that far and wide. I think that's a great success of this winter recharge concept. And during that period of time, we've been able to recharge about 35,000 acre feet into the aquifer. Of note, however, we have, during that same period of time, we've spilled about 150,000 acre feet past Milner due to lack of capacity. So we have some more work to do, and that's before we even had the opportunity to turn on recharge in the upper valley. So that's all focusing on the lower valley around the Milner Pool area. One thing that's interesting is if we add up that 35,000 and 150,000, that gets us really, really close or within the ballpark of closing that gap of our average annual aquifer storage loss of 200,000 acre feet. However, the task at hand today is Upper Valley recharge. We have been informed by the Bureau of Reclamation that this weekend they are going to increase releases out of Palisades Reservoir and American Falls Reservoir, and they project the flow past Minidoka this weekend at about 3,300 CFS. That is more than the 2,700 CFS Minidoka power right that has prior right, so it looks like when that happens, we should have the green light to begin recharge diversions in the upper valley above American Falls, beginning, you know, perhaps early next week. So, given that we've been wrestling with what a incentivized payment structure might look like for the upper valley, and given that we have, you know, significant differences in the water regimes in the lower valley and the upper valley, an incentivized payment structure wouldn't look the same. It would necessarily look different. So in working with some of you over the last several weeks, I think we've come up with a proposal anyway that is reflected in the memo and resolution. Basically, if we turn to the second page of the memo, that shows just a chart of the differences in the water regimes, both in the lower valley, the upper valley. It does indicate that there is significant water for recharge in the upper valley, but it's sporadic as to the year.
Did we just have somebody join the call?
Oh, this is Lyle Plank. I'm just calling in to listen in. I'm Idaho Falls.
Morning, Lyle.
Morning.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jeff. I have a question about this page two with the graphs that show the availability. Is the availability at Milner, that 12-point-something million acre feet, is that a combination? That includes the 3.69 in the upper valley, doesn't it, Brian?
Yeah, that would include everything that spilled past Milner that is not storage releases.
Okay, thank you.
So you're right, Jeff. Okay, so those graphs show a little bit of the challenges in putting together an incentivized payment structure in the upper valley as opposed to the lower valley. If we move on to page three, the top graph on page three just does show the breakdown in recharge deliveries in both parts of the basin since 2009, and it does, you know, also of note, you know, it's shown that, you know, since 2012 there have not been any recharge deliveries available above American Falls, but there have been below American Falls every year. But in those years when the water is available above American Falls, there are significant amounts. So in considering how to get that available water out of the river above American Falls and into the ground for recharge, and in dealing with that intermittent nature of water supply, we've kind of come up with a concept of an incentive-based payment plan based around a couple of different things. The first is a base rate that would be determined by the 5-year aquifer retention zone in which that canal company would be located. So if that canal is in a zone that gives 40% recharged water retained at 5 years, their base rate might be $5 per acre foot. If they're in a 20-40% zone, their base rate might be $4, and less than 20% might be a base rate of $3. And then we add in a delivery incentive to that base rate, and that would be based on a percentage of days a canal delivers for recharge during the period when that recharge right is on and the board issues a notice to proceed. So that's basically trying to get the canal to match up their delivery capacity with this uncertain water supply. And the more they can do that, the more the incentive payment would be. So if they can do 75% of the time, their incentive payment might be $3, 50-75% might be $2, and 25-49% their incentive payment might be $1. And that's intended to, so this is intended to do two things: recognize the prioritization that the board places on aquifer retention and its role in stabilizing the Eastern Snake Plain aquifer, and then also add an incentive delivery that's intended to encourage canals to match their capacity up to this uncertain and intermittent water supply.
Question, Brian.
Yep.
This is Pete, or Mr. Chairman, and Brian. One rule I can say at a $1. Let me back up. At a $3 per acre foot delivery, is that applied to the entire quantity of water delivered, or just that quantity of water greater than 75% that's delivered?
The way I've been thinking about this, you know, Roger and Jeff and Vince, who have been working on this as well, correct me and chime in. I think that would be intended to apply to every acre foot.
Okay.
So at the end of the season, you do the math, figure up where they land, and then that's their payment.
Bye.
And we've got some examples on page four, based on what that payment might be, depending on what aquifer retention zone a canal might land in.
Yeah. When I was looking at those, I didn't have my calculator to break them down. Thank you.
That does get kind of complicated very fast.
Yeah. Pete, this is Roger. One of the reasons we also, or anyway, from my perspective, we looked at the $3. That's the same minimum payment that we make in Magic Valley, so nobody can say we're playing favorites. You can charge me $3.
All right. And historically, Pete, we've been doing $3 for several years, so it was a good basis to get started at.
You betcha. Thanks.
Okay, so that's basically the end of what I had prepared. You do have on page 4 a list of Upper Valley Canals that have expressed interest. We are in contact with them and in the process of putting agreements together. And then if you choose to adopt this recharge payment plan for those canals above American Falls, there is an attached resolution that that would adopt this payment plan. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for any additional questions.
Brian, would you go over how we're going to determine who gets how much water?
Okay, that's a great question. And in fact, believe it or not, I spent about an hour on the phone with Stan Hawkins last night talking about this very subject.
We'll pay you extra for that.
No, I understand. He has questions, and he has, you know, he's trying to figure this out just like we are. One of the things we have talked about is the idea of taking that available water above American Falls and dividing it somehow equally between these three aquifer retention zones. So more than 40%, 20 to 40%, and less than 20%. In sort of an attempt to make sure everybody gets a piece. So I think where one of the ideas we landed on was we take half of that available water, divide it equally between those three zones, or at least offer it to the canals within those three zones. And then we reserve the other half of the available water above American Falls to be recharged in areas at the board's discretion. Again, I'm open to that discussion as well.
Well, I like that scenario. It gives us flexibility for how everybody else feels about it. And this is going to be a 1-year contract, so that we can see if we need to adjust it. It sounds good for a starting point to me.
I'm comfortable. This is Pete. I'm comfortable with that, Roger. And the point you made that this is a 1-year starting point. We got to get something on the table so we know what we may need to change in the future.
Roger, this is Jeff. I concur with that. I think we need to stress that to all these entities who have expressed an interest in Wheeling Recharge Water this spring, that we're just trying to wrap our heads around the very best, most efficient way to do this. This is a 1-year learning curve for us to see how this concept works, and then we'll make adjustments in the future to tailor it so that it's more efficient and allows us to do the maximum amount of recharge.
Mr. Chairman, Al Barker.
Al.
I've got a couple of questions for Brian. Is there a bottom on the retention rate? I mean, are we going to pay somebody for water that's going to run back into the river, all of it in the same season? Under this scenario, as long as it's less than 20%, we would have to do that.
That's correct, Mr. Barker.
And so why are we doing that? Why are we paying for water that there is no aquifer retention? Seems to me there ought to be a bottom number on this, that if it doesn't do the aquifer any good, why are we paying somebody to do it?
Mr. Chairman, Al, each one of those, even in that group that you're talking about, less than 20%, has some retention capability. And in that group, I believe the least of those that has that retention capability is the Great Feeder, and if memory serves me right, Brian, you might help me here, I believe it was 17%. Is there anybody that has less than 17% of those 10 canal companies that we've got listed there?
There would not be.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jeff. I think part of it too, Al, is it's not going to run back in the river the next day. Even if it doesn't stay in the aquifer for 5 years, some of it's going to stay in the aquifer for at least 12 to 24 months, a significant portion of it. And we've held it in the basin. It hasn't escaped from the basin in that time period. And you really wouldn't look at surface storage to hold water longer than 12 or 24 months.
Now, this is Roger.
Go ahead, Roger, sorry.
It's not perfect, but in essence, you know, even in the Magic Valley, we don't require retention time. Now, we know it's different in the Valley.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the whole idea in this project is to enhance the aquifer. And if we're not enhancing the aquifer, I don't know why the board should be paying money for it. And it seems to me, I mean, you look at the numbers that Brian has run, and we're going to pay $250,000, assuming 100% for Irrigation District A, where the water stays in the aquifer for 5 years, half of it, and $189,000 for water that may not stay in the aquifer at all, or at least, as Jeff said, 12 to 24 months. It's a completely, it seems to me that the incentive is, if the goal is to enhance the aquifer, then I don't think these incentives work. And I don't like the idea of saying, well, we're going to set aside money to pay people. The idea ought to be we want to spend the money where it's going to be do the most benefit. And this is saying, well, we're going to spend some money here and some money there and some money somewhere else. We're not doing what is in the best interest of the aquifer. And I guess I have a problem with not having a minimum retention time that we're going to spend, and not having and having this set up in a way that we're going to pay 75% or 80% of the costs to accomplish about 20% of the results.
Well, this is Roger. I can't say I disagree with you, Al. I think for this year, in my mind, you know, we're trying to figure out what we've got. But again, I can't disagree with you. I think that this, from my perspective, is a starting point. And as we go down the road, we may look at this differently. But you know, your point's a good point. There's no doubt.
Well, once it gets in place, it's going to be hard to undo it.
Well, that's a good reason that we, there almost needs to be I don't know if a term sheet's the right thing, but something that'll say on all of these, this is a one-year experiment and it's not setting any precedent.
Mr. Chairman, this is Vince. Al, even if that's a 12 to a 24-month period, there's quite a bit of benefit to that as to the timing of the water it returns back if we know that's the period. If we can put that water in there for a 24-month period, I think that we've accomplished part of that goal that we're trying to accomplish. Sure, the 40 and the 50% would be better, but having the participation of all the people is important, and having up to that, at least that 20% retention is a good stroke as well, because the other sites, when we start looking at the amount of water that the Bureau has, perhaps all that we can get in during that period is pretty important.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't have a problem prioritizing and try to take as much as we can, but I have a problem saying we're going to prioritize to areas when we don't have enough water to go around that don't do as much good as areas that for the aquifer that do. And to the extent there's an excessive amount of water that we can use it all, then great, let's use it all. But if we don't have the full component, why are we putting it in an area that doesn't have the same benefit? And again, if the estimation is we want it to stay in for 24 months, and we should put that as a bottom on here. Right now, there's no bottom. Anything less than 20% can participate. What if it's next day? They still get to participate under this scenario. And I don't know, I understand that none of these people who have applied so far have said have that condition, but how do you limit it if somebody says, I'm going to run it into a pond right next to the river and now pay me?
And perhaps that could be set at that threshold of that 17% if in fact that is the least of these 10 canal companies. But when you look at the example, we've got, Brian, I believe, said that there was 3,300 second feet, and we got 2,700 of that we need for the power right. That leaves us a total of 600, I guess, second feet available. And if we split that in half, we got 300. So each of these only have 100 second feet to begin with. And after the 100 second feet in each of these categories, then it's the board discretion to go beyond that point, if I understand that. Is that correct, Brian?
I believe that's correct.
But I understand Al's point, and I think it's a very good point. And perhaps less than 20, we could put less than 17. And that would maybe that would answer Al's concern, and it surely would preclude water being diverted and then just returned back, and that would sure make sense with me.
So, Mr. Chairman, instead of saying less than 20 or less than 17, if you could put it at, say, 10 to 20%, so we have a minimum threshold of what it is we want to spend our money on, I'd feel better about that.
How about greater than 15?
Well, we got 15 to 20 because the next level up is 20%.
Sure.
But, yeah. That would make me feel more comfortable with setting up a program from the very beginning. And if it turns out later that there's more water available, this doesn't prevent us, this structure doesn't prevent us from saying, well, that other 50%, we've got plenty of water available to use. So we're going to put it in places that maybe don't fit into this parameters because we want to do the retention.
How do you guys feel about that? I mean, it makes that sense, Al.
Well, I think it's a good modification of where we're going. Because it precludes the very thing that Al mentions, that somebody just opens their head gate and turns that water back around in 5 minutes and it's back into the source, the Snake River in this instance. And I think that would, that's something that we hadn't contemplated, but it's good that we have an attorney on board with us to keep us going straight, and I think we would be going down a straighter path if we did that.
Jeff, what are your thoughts on that?
Roger, I'd be okay with putting a minimum on it. I just want to address the elephant in the room. There's some political ramifications of not making this accessible by most parties. So whether we need to tweak how we incentivize it or not, I think we want to be careful that we don't leave anybody out.
And I understand that.
Oh, yes. And Jeff, I guess what I'm hearing is the people that have said that they wanted to be participants would not be left out if we put a bottom number on the third category of somewhere around 15% or 10% or some number higher than zero, in my
opinion. Yeah.
Needs to be better.
And I'm fine with that. I mean, it'd be easier to take the number down later than try and raise it. So if we wanted to 15 to 20%, you got the base rate, and then the other categories, just as Brian's got them enumerated. I'm okay with that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And Brian, you're pretty confident that there's nobody that's less than 15%?
I think we'll be okay at 15%, Roger.
Somebody joined us. Did Bert get on the phone yet?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got tangled up in another.
Okay.
I'm with you now.
Okay. Well, Board, I guess that's at your discretion. I'm okay with that, to go to 15. Take that silence as if everybody else is okay with that.
So, okay. Mr. Chairman, I have one more question. Do we have any sense of the what we're going to be spending under this scenario? Because this is, if we go, this would be 900 CFS for 53 days. Seems like this year we're not likely to hit that number if I add up the, what is that, 650, something like that.
Mr. Chairman, Al, yeah, we're not going to hit that volume this year, I don't think. We're not going to have 900 CFS, at least initially. We'll be looking at 500 to 600 initially. And we're not sure it will really last 53 days either.
Mr. Chairman, Jeff, if it doesn't snow pretty quick, this is going to be a pretty narrow window. I think the Bureau will reassess the releases out of Palisades in the next 2 weeks, and we may have a very, very short window here this year.
Well, we know that's what the reports are telling us, that the chances are it's not going to be wet. You know, along those same lines, Board, one of the other things that we talked about, and I don't know if this is the right place, and if I'm out of step here, tell me, Brian, is also, you know, out of the $5 million, is there any thought about, should we limit how much money can be used for this recharge? Half the money or something like that? I don't know what your thoughts are on that. You know, we could eventually get to where we could use up that whole $5 million for recharge some years.
Mr. Chairman, let me clarify. I think what you're talking about, the money for wheeling fees.
Correct.
Conveyance costs. And as we've talked, my intention is to put together a board finance committee this spring to sit down and make some of those decisions about how to utilize the $5 million and come up with a plan and a budget that the board could approve upon receiving the $5 million.
You mentioned that to us. I just want to make sure the board is aware of that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is Pete. I'd like to add something to that. And Brian, when we, and for the board's consideration, when we do get around to doing that, I'd appreciate it if we would at least think about the possibility of letting the canal companies and the irrigation districts pay back some of the money that we participated for their infrastructure work that we've done in the form of conveyance and recharge. I'm not sure we want to do that or not. It's just something I think we should be thinking about. Thanks.
Well, Roger, this Bert, we better take another look at that. When that money was appropriated, wasn't that somewhat the intention of the legislature, that it was for to build infrastructure more than the ongoing conveyance costs?
Mr. Chairman Burt, this is Brian. There were two blocks of money that have been appropriated. The first is out of the $15 million in one-time funds, $4 million, excuse me, was earmarked for building infrastructure for managed recharge. Then the $5 million ongoing out of the cigarette tax was appropriated for the purpose of statewide aquifer stabilization. So my understanding is that could go to both infrastructure and ongoing delivery costs and other operational factors like water quality monitoring, water level monitoring, other costs and other aquifers as well.
Well, okay, Brian, I guess that's the reason that we need to sit down with the Finance Committee and determine whether we'll hit a snag if we don't leave some money available for other statewide, other than just Easter Snake Plain.
I think you're right, Bert.
Any other questions or points? One last thing that I would say. Now, we have some people that are going to want to start this. I want the board to be aware of as quick as we can get contracts together. So, if any luck, I hope I'm not overstepping here, Brian, we could probably be ready to get these contracts started next week, get the water going next week.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think beginning of next week, those flows have not yet shown up at Minidoka, at least according to this morning's numbers. So we have to have in excess of 2,700 passing through Minidoka before we can give the go-ahead for recharge above. So we're expecting that sometime this weekend.
And we'll let all the canal companies know that. They better move.
Mr. Chairman, Brian, on the administrative of making these releases to each of the canal companies, that's something that the department's people are going to do, or is it Water District 1 that will be opening the headgates up for these various canal companies?
It's a great question, Vince. Our thought, at least my thought, is that our folks would be the ones allocating that water to the various canal companies under what we're calling a notice to proceed. So even if they sign a delivery contract, we're still going to keep a hand on the throttle, so to speak, through a notice to proceed process.
So we're moving probably two or three people, at least a couple people up there probably by Monday, so that as the requests come in, the contracts are signed, we got people on the ground to do it, and we're not losing that valuable first few days, if you will.
Yeah, we'll have people ready to go when this occurs.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian, this is Roger again, and the issue with the winter water, we're going to work that out.
That's a great question, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we've had that discussion with the Bureau of Reclamation. Palisades winter water savings contracts for those canals above American Falls require 150-day headgate closure. Because they are going into, Reclamation is going into increased releases out of Palisades. They are prepared to issue waivers to that, but because it's a contract provision, they have to issue those waivers canal by canal, although they are prepared to do that. So I've had that conversation with both Jerry Gregg and Roland Springer over the last couple of days. The canals just have to make the request to Reclamation.
Okay.
So most canals above American Falls are bound by those contracts. The Fremont-Madison canals are notably not bound by winter water savings contracts above American Falls. So they will be ready to go, you know, as soon as the water's in priority. Those others that have winter water contracts, it may take a couple of days to walk through that process with reclamation.
Mr. Chairman, this is Vince. I would make that subject to, instead of the 0 to 20, make that 15. How was it, Al, that you wanted that? 15% at least?
I think 15 to 20 would be fine, Mr. Chairman.
With that caveat in place, I would still move.
Second.
Just as a discussion, does it need to all say that it has to be 15? Or do you think that's covered? I'll say 15 to 20.
Mr. Chairman, I think 15 to 20 covers it.
Okay. Any other discussion? Call the roll, please, Mandy.
Mr. Cuddy?
Aye.
Mr. Alberti?
Aye.
Mr. Stevenson?
Aye.
Mr. Raybould?
Aye.
Mr. Vandermeulen?
Aye.
Mr. Van Stone?
Aye.
Mr. Barker?
Aye.
And Chairman Chase?
Aye.
Okay, we have 8 ayes, Mr. Chairman.
Then the motion, the resolution has been changed. We also changed to reflect that.
Mr. Chairman, yes, the resolution that is ultimately signed for the board records will reflect the changes that were in the motion.
And in the resolution, I hope you all noticed that on the second page, it has a second paragraph down that the 50% of the water will be available at the board's discretion. And it also states, I believe in there, that this is a one-year project. Okay.
Correct.
Next item.
Okay, next item is a report from Remington Buyer on his consultation with the stakeholders of the Wood River Valley Model Technical Advisory Committee. Remember, you had approved a policy for how to administer groundwater rentals in the Wood River Valley, or an interim policy in advance of the Wood River Valley model being completed. Subject to Remington's going and consulting with the folks at the Technical Advisory Committee. And he has done that and has prepared a memo that was included in your workbooks and is prepared to just give you a brief update on that conversation.
Thank you, Brian. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good morning. I accompanied Neely Miller to the Model Technical Advisory Committee, the MTAC, as Brian said. It was a decent turnout. There were representatives from SPF Engineering, Brockway Engineering, Treasure Valley Land Trust, sorry, the Wood River Valley Land Trust, the Nature Conservancy, Idaho Water Engineering, Sun Valley Sewer and Water District, as well as IDWR, USGS, and our own Pete Vandermeulen. The conversation on behalf of the board's interim policy went well. Specifically, concerns or issues brought forward were related to the interim nature of the policy, and it was reaffirmed that this will sunset on January 23rd, 2016. There was an inquiry as to whether or not it would make more sense to enlarge the groundwater rental zone north of Haley, because the minimum stream flow is measured at the Haley gauge. And so everything above the Haley gauge, therefore, might be considered as having an equivalent impact. It's an interesting notion, I think, worth considering. However, the individual that brought it forward, Christian Petrick of SPF Engineering, also recognized that with this interim policy, we have the ability to track its efficacy, and if his suggestion of an enlarged zone does merit consideration, then we could consider it at a future date and time if we are to adjust or renew this policy. Ernie Carlson from Idaho Water Engineering inquired about the data that we used and whether it would be available for the public. We have uploaded data to our website. It can be downloaded right now. And it's not only GIS data, but we've created some Google Earth data formats as well to make it more accessible for the public to quickly see which zone they are within and understand if they're renting water rights across zones, what that means. So in summation, the conversation went well. Everyone was receptive to it. They were respectful of the board's intent to protect prior appropriators against injury while at the same time trying to facilitate an expedited administration of groundwater rentals in the Wood River Valley. And we are now proceeding, the Water Supply Bank is now proceeding to review 2015 rental requests, groundwater rental requests from the Wood River Valley, and we're going to monitor what we see this year to track it and to evaluate the efficacy of this policy. And with that, I'd be happy to stand for any questions that the board might have about the conversation had.
Thanks, Remington. Anybody have questions? Comments?
Roger Burt, Remington, is it possible as we move along that you could report to us the number of just the number of rentals that you complete there? I'm curious to know the number that we end up with there as we move along. Are some of them short term, some of them long term? Just when we meet, if you could just give us a report of the number of leases that have been consummated there.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Stevenson, I'd be happy to do so. That's fairly straightforward and simple to do. Just a quick reminder that the policy is a one-year policy, so we're only doing one-year rentals this year, but I will be happy to report back as to the number of groundwater versus surface water rentals that we're seeing this year.
Thank you.
Anybody else? You've done a good job, Remington, you and staff, and Neely, you guys have done a good job up there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else we need to cover, Brian, or board?
Mr. Chairman, just only other thing might be any non-action items board members may wish to discuss and then adjourn.
Any action on non-action items?
Yeah, thanks for making the time this morning.
Bye.
Bye-bye.